most of y'all know I'm not here every Sunday. I'm in college at Truett, and God really has me there, and he's using me in so many ways. So basically, I've lived in Texas my whole life, as most of y'all know, for 18 years. And for 11 of those years, I played volleyball. And so volleyball has just been a really big part of my life. And just going through life with volleyball, I've had so many friends and just people to like pour into me and really be there alongside me to pursue the Lord and really be there when I had no one else. And so moving across the country, it's been a really big change for me. And that's a part of my testimony. And so it's just led me here to the people I love most and how I can talk to y'all about it. When I was in high school, it was a really hard season for me through my volleyball career. I was sitting the bench mostly my whole high school career, and most people didn't understand why, because it was, I put in more work than everyone in the gym, and it really was hard on me, and I really took it as something that I could use in a positive way, and I still pushed hard every single day to be on the court and show my coaches that I should be on the court and helping the team. And but being on that team, the coaches were so emotionally draining to us, and they really just pushed us down and really didn't help with like any of our athletic or academic problems. They just pushed volleyball onto us and made it our issue. And so all the dreadful practices were just really hard and emotionally challenging through that season. And then comes my senior year of high school. I was looking into some colleges to play at the next level, but at that point I really didn't want to have to do anything with volleyball, since it was just so hard in college or in high school, being like pushed down every single day through volleyball, because that was what I looked forward to most, but it wasn't what I looked forward to most in the high school season. But and so I really wanted somewhere that I could pursue nursing and also maybe play volleyball. But at that season, I didn't want to play because it was really, I just lost the love for the sport because it was really draining. And I basically had to decide if I wanted to play volleyball in college or not. And I looked into a few colleges in Texas and basically kind of asked them if I could be on their teams, and most of them I couldn't play for because they had full rosters, and it was just too late by my senior year to play in Texas. And so I toured a few places that had really good nursing programs, and I was like, yeah, I think this is what the Lord has for me, because maybe that season is past and I don't know if I want to play at the next level, just because it's been so hard through high school and I didn't like it anymore. And so I really fell in love with some of the colleges in Texas, and I was really dead set on a college in Texas. I had a roommate set up, and I was like, this is the end of my volleyball career. And it was really sad, but people in my life really showed me that, like, after high school, I won't play volleyball the rest of my life, and especially like games, and as like a part of my studies. And so I really was sad about that. And then going into my club season that spring, I really grew with the girls on my team. They really helped push me just to be better as an athlete. I was getting playing time. I was playing all the way around. I was like, God, this is your will. Like, thank you for putting me through the hard seasons so I can be here today. And our coaches were really encouraging. They had a whole recruiting process set up so we could play at the next level if we really wanted to, because they thought there was a place for everyone if they really wanted to play. And during this time, my parents and family were talking about moving over to the East Coast to be closer to their parents, and we could grow up around them, and our kids one day will have grandparents and great-grandparents around. And I basically wanted nothing to do with that. I did not want to move up. I wanted to stay in Texas. I was dead set on a college in Texas. I had so many friends. Texas was my home. Like, I didn't know anything else. So I really was like, I don't want to go. I refuse. It was my comfort zone there. And yeah, all my friends were there. And basically, my parents asked me to go and visit some colleges around South Carolina, North Carolina, and Georgia. And I really was like, I don't want to, but if y'all want me to, I will. So I was really like, I'll do it for y'all. Like, I'll just look at my options, but I'm still going to the college in Texas. And so I wasn't going to be able to play in Texas, so it was going to be a hard decision, but I really didn't want to move 900 miles away from everything that was home to me. And so I'd have to say goodbye to the sport I love, but I always dreamed of playing volleyball in college. That was my dream, and I was still really trying to pursue it, but I didn't want to move far away from all my friends and the place I called home. And we came over here my senior year and toured some colleges, and the coaches already like gave me a scholarship. I was like so surprised. I was like, okay, like, you want me to play for you? And I was like, well, I really don't want to move all the way over here, even though my parents want me to. And I still kept it in the back of my mind. I was like, maybe I can do this just to play volleyball or be near to my family. And so I really just left my options open to make my parents feel good, because they really wanted this and wanted me to be close to them. And I did too, but it was really hard to move. And so I saw through it, and we saw a few other schools. And yeah, they wanted me to play on their teams. And I really didn't know, because it was just a hard season. I was like, maybe I won't like volleyball. Like, maybe in college it'll be a lot different. I need to focus on some nursing. It's a really hard discipline. And I really just wanted to glorify God, but I kind of was selfish and wanted to play in Texas, or not play in Texas, go to college in Texas, because that's all I ever knew was home. And so I was hoping my parents would just be okay with that, but they kept on pushing on me. And praise the Lord, they did. And basically, I committed to Truitt my senior year in January. And I really thought it was going to be good. And I thought, since my parents want me over here, maybe it'll be good. I started falling in love with the school. And I was really anxious and scared to move across the country. But at this time, I wasn't in a super deep relationship with God. And so I really just gave glory to like my family and the people that wanted me to continue to play the sport I love, because they put so much effort into this sport, they put so much money, and so I was like, I will continue and I will try to impress them. And and so going into my freshman year, it was really amazing how just the environment on my campus was just so beautiful. We glorify God through every class, every practice. Our teachers will pray for us. Our professors will pray for us before every class. They will ask for prayer requests. They will email us all the time, just seeing if we're okay. And it was really, really beautiful to see all of the impact that this school was really using to glorify God. And we have chapel every Tuesday. That's really fun. We have different preachers coming in and giving us a word, and it's really a good time. I was like, yeah, God's not just a hobby. He's not just someone that you give the rest of your time to at the end of the day, but he's actually someone that wants a relationship with you and wants to go through every season with you, and not just the little snippets, or maybe some of the time that you're having a good day, or you're having, you like the season you're in, or you like your playing time. Or he's not just someone to go to when everything's going good, but also when everything's going bad, like, we need him to get through those hard times. And I really grew my relationship with God through that first semester. And my friends were supporting me all through the way. We had some setbacks through our volleyball team my freshman year, and it was really hard. Just some drama and just people not being really godly and not being godly and good to other teammates. And I was like, why is this happening, God? Like, I thought this was your plan for me. I was seeing the court, but I really didn't have really good friends to be with when things got hard. And so I started just diving deep into God's word. And I was like, if this is your plan for me, then I'm going to be here to glorify you and show others your love. And I was really like, God makes everything happen for a reason. So he definitely has me here for a reason. And just depending on him through everything. When we don't understand all the time, he's still there. He still is going to be with us. And it's really shaped me into the person I am today. And when there's hard tests, hard labs, really just in hard practices, like when you're struggling, like you can always look to God and praise him for who he is and what he does for us. Through these hard times, I really didn't know what to do except go to God, and I really leaned on him and really like used him as my friend and who I want to go with through everything with. And I got into a really long relationship, and it wasn't God-honoring as much as it should have been. And so that really hurt me. And after We broke up. I really leaned on the Lord so much. I was like, God, why is this happening? If you are there with me the whole time, why are you doing this? If even though, like, I'm doing what you say, I'm doing everything. But sometimes we won't always know the answer. God has plans for us, and it's not always about what we want. It's His will, and His will be done just through these hard times, even if you don't understand. Like, He will always have the right plan and a purpose for your life. And so, yeah, that's my testimony. But then I'm going to go into kind of my sermon. I'm going to be going over Colossians 3:23. And so that says, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. So, yeah, so this just gives me, like, the reminder of thy will be done, not our will be done. He is so much more powerful than we could ever be. And so a question for that is, what would change in our life if you started seeing everything you do as an opportunity to worship God? And not just singing on Sundays or praying before a meal or reading your Bible, which are all good and you should do, but even when you don't feel like it, even when you have a really hard day, you don't want to talk to anyone, you don't know what to do, but in everything, praise the Lord, when you go to work, when you go to school, how you treat your family, how you talk to your friends, and even the way, like, you respond when somebody disappoints you, or how you handle success, or how you handle failure, and really how you act while nobody's watching. And so what if we started looking at every part of our lives and saying, Lord, this is for you? And in this verse, the heart behind Colossians 3:23, Paul says, whatever you do, work heartily for the Lord and not for men. Notice that Paul doesn't say whatever you do that you enjoy, or he doesn't say whatever you do when things go well. He says whatever you do. And this means ordinary things. It means the difficult things, the exciting things, and everything in between. Because God cares about it all. And sometimes we separate our lives into categories. We say, well, this is my work life. This is my school life. This is my family life. Like, there's a line where God doesn't go past. But God doesn't want just one part of us. He wants all of us. And when we surrender our lives to Him, even the ordinary things can become acts of worship. And today I want to talk about five ways we can live out the words, thy will be done. So number one, give God your best. So the first thing I want us to understand is God deserves our best in whatever we're doing. In Colossians 3:23, it says, whatever you do, work heartily. So don't give God half your heart or whatever is left over when it's convenient. But think about how easy it is to give our best effort when things we care about, or things go right, or if something important coming up, we'll prepare for it. Or if we have a test, we'll study. But sometimes we give God whatever is left at the end of our days. And we give Him our leftovers, our leftover attention, our leftover energy, and yet God gave us everything. He gives us life. He gives us breath in our lungs. He gave us salvation through Jesus and gave us grace when we don't deserve it one bit. And He gave us so much more. So the question isn't how little can I give God, but how can I give God my best? And maybe your best looks different to other people. Maybe you aren't the same as someone else, and God isn't asking you to be someone else, but He's asking you to be faithful what He has given you, and you don't have to have everything figured out. He doesn't ask for perfection. He doesn't ask to read your Bible this amount of times a day or this amount of hours, but giving God your best means giving Him your heart, because there'll be days when you don't want to or when you fail, but even on those days, say, Lord, I give this day to you. And so then it goes to our second point, worship God in your everyday lives. So everything you do can be an opportunity to worship God, because worship isn't limited to the building or like the church building or a Bible study or just different church things you do during the week. But it really is an everyday act you should be doing in everything you do. And then we have Romans 12:1. Amy, can you read that? You got it?
Therefore, brothers and sisters, in view of the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true worship.
Yeah, so this teaches us to offer our lives to God as a living sacrifice, just giving him our time. Because worship is something we live. You can worship while you're working. You can worship while you're driving. And how, you may ask? By doing these things in a way that honors him. Imagine if tomorrow you woke up and prayed, God, today belongs to you. And then before walking out the door for work, you say, God, today belongs to you. And even before difficult conversations, saying, God, this belongs to you. And that just changes the way you live, and you look at different challenges and situations in life. And when we understand that our everyday lives belong to him, we stop asking, is God involved in this? And start asking, how can I honor God through this? And that is true worship. And then point three, use every opportunity to give God glory. In Ephesians 5:15-16, Dusty.
Be very careful then, how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil.
Thanks. So this tells us to make the best out of our time, because our days are precious here. We don't know how many opportunities we'll get to spread the word of God to people. We don't know how many opportunities we'll get to serve people or how to really make a difference in someone's life. And when God gives you that opportunity to make a difference, then take it, because maybe someone needs a prayer, then pray for them. And people need to hear Jesus. And sometimes we think God can only use us through huge moments, but most of the time it's the small moments that God can use us, and through our obedience. And so one thing I hear a lot is, like, we may be the only Bible some people read, because we could be showing an act of kindness or showing God that, or showing others about God and his love for us. And that might be the only time that they see God or have the chance to know about God. And you may think it's a small thing, but you know that God uses us, and he could use anything for his kingdom and in anyone's life. And that's why we should live with our eyes open to recognize the opportunities that God gives us, and looking for opportunities to glorify God through any aspect of life. And then point four, give God your best even when it's hard. This is where it gets real, because life is not always easy, but it is easy sometimes to give God our best when everything's going good, or it's easy to worship when life is good. But what happens when life doesn't go the way we expected or the way we wanted, or you didn't get the grade on the test that you wanted? What happens when a relationship changes? What happens when we don't understand what God is doing? Do we still give him our best? And we should say yes, because that might be the most important thing we can learn, is giving him our best and just showing him ways to be gracious to others, even if we aren't always having the best day. And because faith isn't proven only in the easy seasons, and faithfulness is revealed in the difficult seasons. Think about Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. He knew what was coming. He suffered. He knew suffering was ahead, and yet he prayed to the Father, "Not my will be done, but yours be done." And the ultimate picture, and this is the ultimate picture of thy will be done. Jesus surrendered his will to the Father's will, and as followers, there will be moments when we have to do the same. There will be moments when we say, "God, I don't understand, but I trust you." Or, "God, this isn't what I wanted, but I trust you through this season." And that's real faith. And sometimes giving God your best means showing up even when you don't feel like it. And it means continually to pray and choosing joy and forgiving when you're hurt or frustrated, and trusting God's timing when you really don't understand what's going on in your life. But sometimes it means letting go of all your plans and saying, "Lord, thy will be done." And then point five, obedience is an expression of love. If we love God, we should desire to obey him. And Jesus says in John 14:15,
"If you love me, you will keep my commandments."
Yeah, so obedience isn't just about earning God's love, but we obey because he already loved us. God loved us first. God sent Jesus for us, and our response to that should be love. And, "Lord, I want to follow you." And sometimes we say we love God, but then we don't always want his will. But we should strive for saying, "God, bless my plan," instead of, "God, show me your plan." Following Jesus means surrender, saying, "God, your ways are better than mine, even when I don't understand, and your plans are better than mine." Which goes along with one of my favorite verses is 1 John 4:19. It's, "We love because he first loved us." And so that's just like a beautiful example of how we can love others because he died for us and he took that sacrifice for us, and just that he loves us so much that he would do that even though we disappoint him and we sin every day. But then his love for us that he shows us, we can go out and use those opportunities to really show others his love, even when the days are hard, because there will be hard days. But he will be with us and will love us through those hard seasons. And so we can show others that love that God shows us every day.